Thank you, Mr. John Cecina. Greetings to everyone. I think we've spoken to everybody individually, but as a group, collectively, we would like to say it's really nice to be home, and we're really glad to see all of you. I guess I didn't speak to you, Joe. I didn't see you before. But it's nice to see you now, and it's nice to see everybody, and everybody seemed to be interested in our trip, and I thought it was a very successful trip, and that many things that needed to be taken care of were or are in the process, and it's always a process, isn't it? It's never finished, and the process of being taken care of. And so we had a good and a successful trip. I make a little bit of an apology to everyone here. Because I didn't shave today, and I didn't shave yesterday either, but I've been having problems with infection on my skin, and the shaving makes it worse. So please, it's already bad enough, I know, to have to look at my face, but please overlook that. The assigned sermonette man decided to take a hiatus to Philadelphia with his family. They were planning to go and be back for the weekend, but the visitee, Lisa, and cousins, you know, the three boys that Lisa and Jeff have, they somehow won a vacation somewhere, and so they were gone all week and weren't going to be back home until today. So they rearranged the trip, and I inherited the sermonette. So I'd like to talk about today. I guess today what I'll be talking about in both messages is principles. I'll be trying to talk about and explain principles. In the sermonette, I'm introducing it here by saying that we have been given certain principles by which we are to live. I illustrate that. Yesterday, Anita and Andy and Hazel and myself and the Holloways went to the Little League World Series, and we saw several teams play. Some problem, John? Okay. We got a fan there. That might help things. We saw some of the teams from all over the world playing in that World Series. And I guess we left last night, or late afternoon, not last night, but we left. Uganda was playing Panama, wasn't it? And so it was questionable when we left as to who would win, but I guess Uganda won. Panama won. Uganda lost. There are lots of teams from various places in the world. When we were in Orlando in March, I guess it was, I have a friend who was nearly a professional baseball player. He was a scholarship baseball player at Georgia Tech and played with some of the best softball teams in the world. But he was instructing Mason and Jackson on the principles of hitting. So principles is what I'm talking about here. And he asked them what was the most important principle as far as hitting goes. And they had, you know, about how you keep your feet still or what you do with your hands. And they had some answers. But he said, no, the most important principle about hitting is seeing the ball well. How good is your eyesight and how much do you focus on seeing the ball? That's the most important principle. I know that in years gone by, back in the days of Worldwide, we used to have church softball games. And I thought of this in relationship to that. I wasn't there at such an occasion, but I guess when the softball games were held at the church picnics, it was customary to have Charlie Piscitello be the umpire. And this was just to, and by the way, I didn't know it until after services last week. Charlie Piscitello has recently died. I don't know if everybody knows that or not. Charlie has recently died. But it was always a matter of amusement because, and for Charlie more than anybody else, I guess, to be the umpire because it was a good joke. But seeing is a very important principle here. We could say, in a similar way, that in Christianity, seeing is the most important part of Christianity. Our eyes are the most important part of Christianity. What I want to do in this sermonette is to show the importance of maintaining vision. And I'll be transferring the emphasis from baseball or physical things to spiritual vision as we go. Here's a verse of Scripture, which I think is one of the most profound verses for us at this time, and something that we need to keep in our bag, our bag of tools, spiritual tools that we pull out and use from time to time. It might be like our eyeglasses here. It is what gives us eyesight? What is it that gives us spiritual eyesight? Proverbs 29, verse 18, starts out by telling us the bad side of what happens if we don't have it. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, bad thing, right? Charlie's the umpire. And it was funny, I guess, to have the game, and Charlie could no more tell whether a pitch was a strike or a ball than anything. But he'd make the call. And everybody'd have to live with it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. It's talking about spiritual vision, isn't it? Where there is no spiritual vision, the people perish. But what is it, does it say, that gives us eyesight? What gives us vision? The last part of that scripture tells us the source of our spiritual eyesight. Happy is he that keeps the law. Now, why is he happy? Because he has spiritual vision. It's the law of God that gives us spiritual vision. I know there'll be conversations about the trip that we made, and I made a trip into the Ukraine before Hazel arrived. And it was a very revealing trip. First place I went was to it's an orphanage where children from off of the street have been adopted in and taken care of. Boys and girls up to, middle teenage years in that orphanage, and maybe about 50, 60 of them that come there on a regular basis. And it's been so successful, it was run by two people who now are probably 80 years old and who founded it. It's called a Mission of Light. But children who've been abandoned or children who've been orphaned, one or the other, have come there and have been adopted off of the streets. They're brought in off of the streets. They may still have a home, but they may not have much of any home life, much of any parents at all. But if they want to come there And if they will subscribe to the rules, they're pretty rigid rules. I was concerned about going there because seeing children off of the street, and I thought it was like a 2-week thing, a 2-week camp. It's not. It's year round. They take care of these children year round. So I was concerned, as I said, because what kind of children are you going to get off of the streets, and how much problem are you going to have trying to work with those children? Not a bit. Not a bit. I was really impressed with how well behaved they are. And of course, there's the owner or the founder. I can't remember his name now, Ukrainian name, and it's unusual to me. His wife's name is equally more involved in it now than he is. Irina. It's we would say Irene, you know, and I remember her name because there was a song back in the 50s that I really liked, Irene Goodnight. But they run this mission. They take care of these children off of the street. Now, here is a scripture. And by the way, now, as long as we're talking about eyesight, blindness, and so forth, the founder is now blind. And he was injured in an automobile accident, and he's essentially blind. He can see a little bit. But I put his hand on my shoulder and lead him around the same as I would Charlie Piscitello or Marty. But he has vision. Here's an example of the vision that he has. The vision that we need to keep. James chapter 1 and verse 27. Because it tells for us right there. It's kind of a summary of the law. It defines for us what pure religion is in that verse of Scripture. And it's one of the guideposts by which we ought to run our lives. James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And I have to say, that's one of the most sparkling examples of doing that I have ever seen. And I think I learned something from it, and I hope I can transmit a little bit of what I learned there to you in seeing how they do that and how effective they have been in doing it now since around 1990. They started to do it. And, we'll come back to this part later maybe, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. But for this part of this service, the sermonette, pure religion and undefiled, visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, children from the street. And we have that responsibility too, don't we? It's one of the most important responsibilities that God puts in the Bible for us. We find it, in fact, it's one of the most important defining lines between life and death. Matthew chapter 25. I'll read two verses here, verse 40 and 45. Of course, it's all involved in a rather lengthy parable that I don't have time to read. I have some throat problems too, by the way, which I've been having for about a month now. So I'm fighting with that a little bit. The parable of the sheep and the goats. And what's the most important points to be gathered out of that parable of the sheep and the goats? You know, there's one category of people who, you see, sometimes it speaks out really, really good, and other times it sort of clams up. So, if I'm if I'm speaking all of a sudden too loud, that's what's happening. It defines one group of people as sheep and the other group of people as goats. The difference between the two is how we care for those people who are Christ calls his brethren. I think there's a big distinction to be made between people who are our brethren and people who are our neighbors. The Bible talks significantly about our responsibility to our neighbor, but our responsibility to our brethren is much higher. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. King shall answer and say to them, truly I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Who's he talking to when he says that? He's talking to those he calls the sheep and those he says inherit eternal life to. By contrast, some do not do it. And he also addresses those. Christ says to them, verse 45, truly I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not do it unto one of the least of these, and again, my brethren is implicit here, you did not do it unto me. And then the result is negative, very negative. So, these are some of the guidelines that we might have in mind about spiritual vision. The proverb that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Happy is he that keeps the law. Like Bill said to Mason and Jackson, your eyes are the most important part of hitting.